You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Those are the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol on January the 6th, when they broke windows, kicked in the doors, brutally attacked law enforcement, roamed the corridors hunting for officials, and erected gallows to hang the former Vice President, Mike Pence. It was an enraged mob that had been whipped up into a frenzy by a president repeating over and over again the big lie that the election of 2020 had been stolen. It's a lie that fueled the dangerous rise in political violence and voter intimidation over the past 2 years.
Yeah, there's President Biden last night addressing the nation. For those who were listening or watching on the various networks that would carry him, and, of course, got to tie everything back to January 6th. And that would include the Paul Pelosi attack recently. No surprise, it is just another distraction, as I've been telling you. They're still trying to get to higher ground as Democrats running for office are still trapped in the Biden swamp. That's no longer the White House swamp or even the government swamp or bureaucracy. It is a Biden swamp. It is a quicksand. They cannot extract themselves because they're all trapped in it right now. And so Biden went out last night and said, you know, our problem is the violence in the country, and you're going to blame Republicans because if you vote Republican, you're endorsing violence. He never really addressed any of the violence against Republican candidates. Lee Zeldin almost knifed to death when he was trying to speak in New York. Nor the man who intended to maybe kidnap, at least tie up the Justice Kavanaugh's family and assassinate him. No, it's all about Paul Pelosi. And there's we were talking about the Pelosi thing. There's a couple points about that that are still hanging in the air. That is anybody going to address them? Is anybody going to, in the mainstream state-controlled media, even inside D.C., really going to do it? Capitol Police say they're looking at it, but I don't know. Because Capitol Police have admitted, yeah, we had a live feed on Pelosi's house, but we weren't watching it because she's not there at that time, so we didn't bother watching it. I ask again, do they not have backup tape of what's happening? You know they do. They're going to show it to us? And then you got San Francisco police that showed up at the home. Still confusion about how they were let in, what they found, what they saw, story shifting and changing. They have police cams. Why aren't we getting that? Oh, that might be damaging, you think? I don't know. And then you got the fact that Paul Pelosi apparently had to go into the bathroom to fake like he was using the bathroom and get his phone to call 911. If a glass was broken, does that home not have such high security? They would immediately send a 911 call out with glass breakage in the building, even if a deer broke through the glass. Many homes with high-end security will do that. They're not that high end in this billionaire's home and the House Speaker's home. All right, we'll get into that in more detail later. Former President Obama in Arizona last night trying to push, pull, shove Senator Kelly and Governor Hobbs over the finish line. Used a lot of his 55 minutes to jab at the challengers, Blake Masters and Kerry Lake. Hillary's out front again, claiming most crimes are in red states. How can she say that? Well, by ignoring facts that 40% of the cities did not share their crime info with the FBI. That would include New York, L.A., Chicago. You get the picture. And then Roe v. Wade is turning out to be a non-issue in this election. They thought it'd be big, but not. But we are seeing more women who want abortions now, not going after the procedure, but an abortion pill. What is it? How does it work? And how is that different from the morning after pill? We'll get into that discussion in the second hour. And I also have a China expert, Gordon G. Chain. We've had him on before. He said there are severe COVID lockdowns in China because they have zero tolerance. Citizens might be starving. Once I promoted Gordon on Twitter, several tweets started coming in, hitting me and slapping me around saying, Gordon is wrong. Maybe he's lying, they're suggesting. And Gordon's looking forward to responding to some of those remarks. I don't know what's happening in China. Gordon says he does. These people say they do. This should be a good interview. Make your family and friends aware that we're on the air right now and live streaming at rumble.com. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a freighter coming on a heavy trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want people to be safe. That's not the Republicans' argument, because, of course, if you look at real crime statistics, which they're not interested in examining, the states with the highest crime levels are states run by Republicans. That's just a fact. We saw that, you know, very clearly in the recent debate in Oklahoma for the governorship when the Democratic candidate said, wait a minute, you know, the crime rate in Oklahoma is higher than it is in New York, and nobody wanted to believe that.
No, they didn't want to believe it because how many facts do we have from New York City on their crime? But you listen to Hillary Clinton, there are more crimes in red states. Those run by red governors have more crime than the blue states. And it's just a fact. Take it from her. It's a fact. No, I'm sorry. I'm not taking it from her. And I don't ask you to take it from me. I ask you to do your own inquiry. But I've done some of it for you so you can have a balance here, so you can make your own decision. Now, you would think that NPR, National Public Radio, would make sure that he got it right, and that you, because they denied the Hunter Biden laptop existed, remember? They didn't even want to report on it because they said, we don't report on fiction, we deal with only facts. Well, they did a factual report on the FBI crime report that's now out. And, of course, it came out last month, and I told you about it at the time. And how it was missing some things. In fact, I want you to listen to the NPR host, Mary Louise Kelly. And she acknowledges right away, crime is a big issue.
Crime is a huge topic in elections this November, and the FBI has now entered the chat. It has just released the Crime in the Nation report for 2021, but the Bureau switched the way it collects crime data this year, and many police departments did not get on board. Los Angeles and New York City did not report to the FBI. In fact, only 63% of the country's police departments submitted anything, and some of the data that was submitted was incomplete.
Incomplete. And many of the cities, as you heard her say, only 63% of the country's police department submitted anything, and even that was incomplete. Just because the Bureau switched the way it was gathering and collecting crime data, that's a reason to go silent? Or was it really, riddle me this, or was it because our numbers are horrifying? And we are going into an election midterm here, and we cannot show that violence is as bad as it is. Yes, yes, there'll be reports of people being shoved in front of subway trains. There'll be people just running through stores, ransacking, grabbing what they can on the way out, maybe shooting someone, and then we'll have cars hijacked everywhere. But if we don't say it in the report, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. No, it exists, and they're victims of such non-crimes being reported. The FBI, all they did was decide to have a different collection system, and they've been switching over the past couple of decades. And by 2015 and 2016, the FBI decided they would retire the old system by 2021, and they did. So they want to give the nation with data with a lot more detail and allow us to see what's happening. But unfortunately, what happened was 40% of those agencies that are supposed to report just, we don't like the way you're doing it. Now, again, is it because they don't like the way the numbers are being tabulated and counted, or because they're going to have to put in lies into their FBI crime report? Best thing is just don't do it. So here you have the MBR host, and she is talking to a crime expert, of someone who's taken a lot of time to judge this. This is a woman by the name of, let me get her name correct, she's with the Marshall Project. Now, the Marshall Project is a nonpartisan, nonprofit news organization that covers the nation's criminal justice system. At least that's what it's supposed to be, and it appears to be. But the data reporter, Weeha Lee, said, well, when she was asked what went wrong, let's go back to the host setting up the issue, and then the response from the crime expert comes right now.
Okay, so it seems like some places were very good at submitting data under this new system. Others were very not good. Where are the big blind spots?
Yeah, for sure. So we have some states like California, Florida, where almost no agency in that state submitted any data to the FBI. And there are also a lot of larger cities. The largest police department, New York Police Department, didn't submit any data to the FBI. So a lot of blind spots.
A lot of blind spots. I'm wondering how accurate the numbers can possibly be if, just to take the two biggest cities in the country, New York and LA, they didn't report at all.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And then something that criminologists and people who work in criminal justice have been very worried about for a while now.
Now, she included, and I left it in, I don't try to deceive you. She left in, she said, California and Florida did not do full reporting. So some will say, well, see, Larry, there's a red state, Florida, that they didn't do everything either. No, you're right, and that's why I left it in. I'm not going to try to hide information from you. But the overwhelming number are blue cities and blue states. Now, again, let's go back to Hillary, because she knows better than what's in the FBI report. And I started to say, I assume she knows that the FBI had trouble getting all these cities, especially major cities like L.A., New York, Chicago, Detroit, to report. I assume she knows that. Maybe she doesn't. But what she's doing regardless of what her background is, she's presenting herself as I am all-knowing, and I know the true story, and the true story is red states are rampant with crime.
The states with the highest crime levels are states run by Republicans. That's just a fact. We saw that, you know, very clearly in the recent debate in Oklahoma for the governorship when the Democratic candidate said, wait a minute, you know, the crime rate in Oklahoma is higher than it is in New York, and nobody wanted to believe that.
Yeah, nobody wanted to believe that. And I still don't believe that. And she believes it only because the Democrat candidate said it? Are you going to believe everything a politician on the campaign trail says, regardless if they are your party or not? Are you simply going to gobble it up like, oh my God, this is so good, give me more? Can I have a second helping and a third helping? I'm just going to eat it all. I'm going to believe everything you put in front of me. You're not that gullible. They might think you are, but this audience is not that gullible. This audience has made it very clear that they understand a lot of things. In fact, I had been getting reports and emails, not just from those who like the program, but some that hate the program, and they're still listening. Glad to have you. I mean, one in particular keeps saying, Larry, you're ignoring the fact, basically repeating what Hillary said, most of the crime is in the red states. And I pointed out to him, I said, are you aware, are you ignoring the fact that the FBI didn't get all the information they need? 40% not reporting. Most of it from blue cities and blue states. I don't know how much Florida did or did not report, but I didn't try to take it out of that for you. But I'm going with the NPR program presented from the woman who does the data stats for the Marshall Project. But the bottom line is, as she summed it up in that previous bite, is we don't have a lot of things, and we have a lot of blind spots here. But when you look at the blind spots, that is where you're going to find most of the crime. It's not that hard to find. It's in our streets on a constant basis. I mean, it's random. Of course, they're going to call for gun control, but random shootings up and down the streets, guns and thugs all do not mix well. And innocent people get caught in the crossfire. It still breaks my heart. The other day, a 7-year-old boy in his home, in the bathroom, and two gangs get in a shootout outside his home in an alleyway in Chicago, and a bullet comes through and kills him while he's in the bathroom. We have too many kids that are dying that way because of gang violence. Now, I know a lot of the focus wants to be on those who go crazy with a gun and go into a school or go into a shopping mall, and yeah, we need to deal with those. And in many cases, they never should have had a gun, period. But in most of the shootings, they're not supposed to have guns because they're felons or they're committing crimes, and they know it, but they're not going to care about your gun laws, so you make all the gun laws you want. It will not change their habit of what they're going to do. Now, I want to add to, before we continue this, the Marshall Project also pointed out that there are dozens of cities in the heartland, they're talking about Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska, that also did not report all of their data. So again, I'm not going to hide it from you. I want you to know that. The FBI criminologists say the NYPD has a good idea of, or rather the criminologists say the NYPD has a very good idea of what's crime rise in New York City, but it has its own tracking system. In other words, we're better than the FBI. Well, the other problem is, how much of the FBI has been weaponized on this issue as well? But let's go back to Weeha Lee, the data reporter for the Marshall Project, and her comments about crime in the nation.
So the FBI is used to receiving data from more than 90% of police departments across the country. But like you said earlier, in 2021, because they changed their data collection method, the number have dropped to roughly 60%. So instead of saying a finite number, you know, X number of crimes took place, they're saying, we think the range of crime that took place in 21 is somewhere between Y and Z. So for violent crime, property crime, and homicide, the number of crimes could have gone up, gone down, or stayed the same. We really don't know.
We really don't know. Well, that's perfect going into the midterm election for the Democrats who are crying out defund police, and we continue to see violence all around us because of the culture that if we get caught, we're going to let you go anyway. Unless you attack Nancy Pelosi's husband, you'll be locked up forever. We're not going to let you go without a bail. Although, I'm wondering if she lived in the state of Illinois, because January 1, they had their Safety Act goes into effect, where there'll be no bail required for aggravated assault, generally speaking. No bail required for various crimes that would be felony, like second-degree attempted murder. I think that's probably what this Pelosi case would fall under, but you think they would let that guy go free if she lived in Illinois and it happened there? L.A.'s not that far off from it, is it, on how they handle criminals? But again, back to Hillary saying, you know, the real problem is the GOP. That's where your crime issue is.
They don't want to solve a problem, whether it's crime, inflation, or anything else. They just want an issue. You know, when given a chance to govern, they don't want the responsibility. We saw that during COVID at the very highest levels of the Trump administration. So when they talk about crime, you know, they're just trying to gin up all kinds of fear and anxiety in people.
Do you have to be ginned up to be fearful of crime? I don't think you do. And then she talks about they don't really want to govern. When they had a chance, they have no interest. Like, look how they handled COVID in the beginning under the Trump administration. My dear lady, you do know that we had the vaccines that you continue to push on everybody rapidly develop under a Trump order, and that Biden and Harris got their injections before they were ever inaugurated. They got them in December. And I thought if you're going to talk about how COVID was mishandled, you're not going to bring in Cuomo and how he ordered nursing homes to take in COVID patients, basically sentencing all of them to death camp. It's little tiny facts like that that they just gloss over. Again, if we don't say it, if we don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist. And unless you're listening to Larry Connors USA or some program like that, hey, she said, I know, it's a fact, it's a fact. Say it over and over again. It ain't so. Reminding you again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. You'll find our Rumble page. You can join us live in studio for the rest of today's program. If you miss anything, go back and watch it later, and many of you I see are doing it. But coming up last night, President Biden went out and spoke about the violence of the nation and basically says if you vote for Republicans, you're voting for violence.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We the people must decide whether we'll have fair and free elections. And every vote counts. We the people must decide whether we're going to sustain a republic where reality is accepted, the law is obeyed, and your vote is truly sacred. We the people must decide whether the rule of law will prevail, whether we'll allow the dark forces to thirst for power, put ahead of the principles that we've long guided us.
Yeah, there's Joe Biden again, as we're going to get into more in the second hour. Last night, speaking about how important the democracy is, and that it is we the people, and I was second all of that. And I was second when he says there's no place for violence inside the parties and going after each other. We have a country that doesn't do that. We do not have overthrows of the government. And that was not what was happening on January 6th. They did not really try to overthrow the government. I don't care how many times they try to frame it and tell you that, that was not what they were doing. Did they try to stop the Electoral College count from going on? And in fact, they did have to stop during that melee. Yes, they did. Short of doing what was happening at the Capitol on January 6th, when Hillary Clinton lost to Trump, the Democrats did exactly the same thing, coming to the floor trying to stop the Electoral College being counted. And if you recall, she said, I won the popular vote. I should be proud. We need to get rid of this archaic this Electoral College, which is part of the U.S. Constitution. But let's get rid of it anyway. Now, there's an election denier. When Stacey Abrams loses the Georgia governor's race last time, and she's going to do it again, did she deny that it was a fair election? No. She said, I did concede, so obviously I accepted. No, she didn't accept it. Any more than Hillary did when she called Trump that night to tell him congratulations, because immediately after she hung up the phone, I would have loved to have been a fly in the room, wouldn't you? I'm waiting for somebody to come out with what happened after that conversation, because she wouldn't even go address her supporters who had gathered into the early morning hours. She would not go out and talk to them. She sent one of her lackeys to go out there and tell them, well, we're still waiting. We're weighing our through. We'll see how things are tomorrow. And then that very next day, how many were in the streets at the Capitol and elsewhere? And during then, when Trump is inaugurated, how many Democrats don't even bother going because they considered it was not fair election? They forget all of that. We don't. But here's Biden last night also saying basically it's only democracy when we, the Democrats, do it. Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. You can't have a democracy if you're going to vote for the Republicans. You can't have a democracy if you're going to vote for an independent. You only have a democracy if you vote, as we tell you, to vote for Democrats. He says at one point, the midterms could be illegitimate. He did that. They said it's easily to say that it could be illegitimate. I'm going to read this exact quote from you. As I stand here today, there are candidates running for every level of office in America, for governor, Congress, attorney general, secretary of state, who won't commit, that will not commit to accepting results of this election they're running in. This is a path to chaos in America. It's unprecedented. It's unlawful. It's un-American. I hope you'll ask a simple question of each candidate you vote for. Will you accept the legitimate will of the American people and the people voting in that district? Will that person accept the outcome of the election, win or lose? The answer to that question is vital, and in my opinion, it should be decisive. The answer to that question hangs in the future of the country we love so much. Well, I remember during the debates between Hillary and Trump, Hillary is asked, will you accept the decision of the people? Yes, I will. That's the way we do it. Trump, will you accept it? Well, I'll see what the results are. Maybe, maybe not. Oh, and she went ballistic. How dare you? You got to accept it. Has she yet to say he won fairly without Russian collusion, which he helped fund that whole piece about? No, she hasn't. All right, let's change gears going in the next segment. My guest is a China expert, Gordon G. Chang, talking about the lockdowns because of COVID in China.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on numerous times before, always engaging, and he's being challenged this time before he even gets on the air. My guest is Gordon G. Chang, a China expert. You can find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang, C-H-A-N-G, Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. And you can go to Larry Connors USA Twitter, and you'll also find right now where I posted something, reference him, and again, you'll see his Twitter handle. He is the author of his most recent book, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. So the other day, the reports were coming in, and I was picking up on some of these, and I'd seen that Gordon had said a few remarks about it anyway, and that is China has a zero tolerance for COVID, and there were reports of more and more lockdowns. Gordon, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
So one of the reports that came out, you'll have to pronounce a name for me. It's Zhengzhou City. Is that or it's close? Zhengzhou, something like that?
Zhengzhou.
I was close. No, I wasn't. I got city up. 14 million residents, apparently. This is according to someone that was shooting video and getting it out of the country and saying that 14 million residents locked down to the point of starvation, some banging pots and pans, seeking help in despair. That was basically posted just yesterday, and there was video of this high-rise where folks are probably jammed in and people leaning out windows, banging pots and pans, and that was the reporter was claiming, the one sending the tweet, I should say, and again, I can't verify them, but they're saying that's why it was going on. What are you hearing?
Well, a couple things. First of all, Zhengzhou itself has been locked down more or less for about a month. This has gotten attention because in Zhengzhou there's an airport economic zone, and there Foxconn, which is an Apple supplier, has been making about half of Apple's iPhones. And yesterday that plant was locked down for a week. That's important because that is going to severely disrupt iPhone production. Reuters reports that iPhone production could decline by 30%. Foxconn says no, production is normal. But normal production at a plant where workers, thousands of workers, are streaming out and leaving, and which is locked down by a draconian government, you know, just doesn't seem right. So we'll find out what the truth is fairly soon, but clearly society and the economy there is being disrupted.
There have been numerous pieces of videos surfacing, and again, this source that sent this first tweet acknowledging what was going on, a 14 million lockdown, also did point out your Chinese iPhone factory workers saying they're fighting for food. Some haven't eaten for days, and rumors that some have starved to death, admitting it's a rumor. I've seen pictures and video of people climbing over fences and getting out. There was a report showing video the other day that in a large office building, they were told they're probably going to be, and I don't know if it's in the same city or not, that they're going to have to keep everybody inside that office building. They couldn't go. Well, before they could lock the doors down, folks were streaming out of the building to get out, to get home. Their COVID policy, now, when we talk about draconian here in the U.S., we were basically playing Mickey Mouse compared to what they're doing there.
Yes. The zero COVID policy of Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, is to prevent any transmission of the disease at all, and they will go to extraordinary lengths. So, for instance, across China, buildings have been locked down with people inside. That happened at Disneyland in Shanghai, reportedly, but it's also happening at other places. And so, you know, this is what a totalitarian state will do when it goes to unreasonable lengths. And many people have now come to the conclusion that zero COVID is not about stopping transmission of disease, but it's about controlling the Chinese people.
Yeah.
Now, we can't see in the minds of Xi Jinping, but that's a reasonable assumption.
Well, I mean, Americans began to come to that assumption as well because we were all concerned about locking our kids down, not letting them go to school, and they are a 0.003% chance of being a fatal with COVID. And in fact, to that extent, there's another piece coming out of there. Now, again, these supposedly are coming out of China that talks about an unjust death of a 3-year-old due to lockdowns, that emergency responders were delayed for hours. But then when they were having outcries and protests, the Communist Party wasted no time in getting a massive riot squad out to silence everyone.
Yes, well, that report is true from all we can tell. And it's also consistent with what we have seen throughout the pandemic in China. The case that had gotten extraordinary attention before this one was a woman who miscarried in the street, was denied access to a hospital. There have been some improvements in China's policy across the country in terms of access to hospital facilities for non-COVID matters. But nonetheless, this recent case of the child who died because father couldn't get it to the hospital, this really is a story that we are seeing across the country.
All right. Now, as I'd mentioned in the beginning, and you're aware of it because I put it up on tweet as well, and I knew that you saw it, and that is I got hit with several tweets of people saying that you're wrong, you don't have it right, either suggesting you just don't know or you're lying. One of them saying that the situation is not at all what you're suggesting. The community organizes grocery shopping every few days. The social atmosphere is impetuous just because people want to go out and don't want to stay home. And then another one said that since yesterday, 60% of the communities in the main urban area of Zhongzhou have been able to enter and exit with a 24-hour negative nucleic acid test.
Well, clearly, you know, when you talk about a city of 14 million, there's going to be different lockdown rules for different areas. And that has always been the case in other cities as well. But The Guardian, Reuters, and others have reported distress in society. So, yes, I can imagine that in some buildings, people have been able to organize grocery services. We've seen that in other lockdowns in other cities. But we've also had consistent reporting of people lacking food. And that's also understandable given the nature of the lockdowns, especially in Shanghai, where people did go without food for quite a long time, as reported by various media organizations.
Now, 2 points there. One, let me break it down this way. One, I'd seen one report. I don't know which city it involved, but because they had a possible 300 cases of COVID, possible, they were locking down an entire city of 12 million to 15 million based on 300 cases that were possible. That makes sense?
That makes sense. Normally what happens is that they first of all lock down districts, not entire cities. And especially in Beijing, where locking down the entire city would just cause chaos. But they've done that in other locations as well, where there's a case in an apartment building, and the apartment complex gets locked down, of course, but also sometimes the wider district. And when these cases spread across from district to district, then other districts get locked down.
Right.
So this has been something that we've consistently seen, again, from one end of China to the other.
All right, to that extent, in our closing couple of minutes here, you mentioned getting food. There's a farming crisis already in China, and the economic crisis continues to build. You've been talking about that a lot, that you're basically saying it's all collapsing in itself. Of course, the outward appearance is we're still big and in control and still eyeing Taiwan.
Well, certainly. There is plunging property prices, and we can see this, of course, from even official figures, which show dramatic falls in property prices and sales on the order of, let's say, 45% in the first 6 months of this year compared to the comparable period last year.
Are you talking about sales to other Chinese or outsiders coming in? Or, I mean, is that an indication that folks, can they even get into China and do business anyway, I guess, at this point?
Well, it's very difficult to get into China. I mean, they've started to relax rules over the last month or so. But we're primarily talking about sales to Chinese parties because people in China use apartments like a store of value because they can't get their money out of the country and there are only limited investment opportunities. People use apartments as a store of value. You know, Americans would buy a gold coin, the Chinese buy an apartment.
Well, I know Americans look at their home as their biggest value, the most things they put into it, too. But again, real quick question, the last 30 seconds, do they actually own the apartment or are they just paying for it and they're leasing?
No, they actually own the apartment.
So they actually are allowed to own property in China. Okay. I wasn't sure.
They can't own land, though. Nobody in China can own land. But they can own the improvements on the land, such as a building.
Well, listen, Gordon, as always, I appreciate your insight. Again, his latest book is The Great U.S.-China Tech War. We'll have to discuss that another day. And Gordon G. Chain at Twitter, at Gordon G. Chain. I thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. Are the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton. It's been a hard day tonight, and I've been working hard like a dog. It's been a hard day tonight, I've been sleeping like a log. But when I get on with you, I find the things that you do, and I feel all right. Oh, I work hard.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. You know, I like to think I have some good original thoughts, and I've often wanted to take some time to write some essays I could read to you and share with you, but and maybe get them published, but somebody may not even care. But bottom line is, I had to spend my time really getting this program together, and that's my prime intent. So I often will share thoughts of others, but I always give them the credit because what if they're wrong? There's a thin line between credit and blame. But if they did the work, they deserve the credit. So I want to share some things from John Nolte writing for Breitbart. And this is hilarious on one hand, yet at the same time, it's not so funny. And it deals with the attack on House Speaker Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. You do know, by the way, I made a big deal of it, but he's actually, quote, an illegal alien. He came in here from Canada about 20 years ago, and he had a six-month visa to stay. He had a right to renew that. And then maybe he did or didn't, it's not clear. But then he could have also married an American, had another reason to stay. He did marry a woman, but at what point, it's not clear. But at last check, apparently he still basically be classified as an illegal because he overstayed his tourist visa. So not like he snuck across the border like we're talking about the South right now. I don't really care about that part of it. But to this extent, here's what Breitbart is pointing out, John Nolte, in his article. He said, watching the overpaid, blow-dried hoaxsters who run the corporate media haplessly attempt to frame Republicans for whatever happened to Paul Pelosi last week is like watching Lou Costello parallel park. He said, oh, how I laugh and laugh and laugh. That would be funny. He said, outside of losing their moral authority and influence, the corporate media are becoming more incompetent by the day. 15 years ago, with billions of corporate dollars backing their lies and near monopoly on public information, this frame-up would have worked like a charm, but the execution would not have been as ham-handed as this one. And he adds, these people are not just fascist and corrupt, they're idiots. It said, here are some reasons why the media's attempt to frame Republicans for what happened to Pelosi has failed spectacularly. Number one, nobody believes the media anymore. He said, come on, come on. As Joe Biden would say, it's no joke, man. Now, I'm adding that. He didn't write that, but that's what Biden would say. It's no joke, man. I'm telling you the truth. Well, what he writes here is 10 days before a consequential national election, the same media coming up with this story also had the Russian collusion hoax, hands up, don't shoot hoax, Jussie Smollett hoax, Covington KK Kids hoax, Very Fine People hoax, 7-Hour Gap hoax, Russian bounties hoax, blah, 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 on and on and on. And he said, honestly, you thought they would be gaslighting voters into buying anything they report, such as this? That's not going to work. And then he said, these same media idiots botched the early reporting. He said, they told us, the media, and it was. It came out of San Francisco, one of the TV stations. I believe it was a Fox affiliate. So Fox obviously picked it up. It's their affiliate. That there was a third person in the Pelosi home at the time of the alleged assault. That a third person let them in. And he adds, they, the media, whether or not it's the same station, told us the alleged assaulter was wearing only his underwear. Now, again, it's understandable Pelosi being in his underwear. It's 2:30 in the morning. If he hears something downstairs, as he claims, he probably didn't get dressed, just went down there. And then he says, and after all of these media attack narratives, they retracted the third person and the underwear stories. He said, which leads me back to number three. Did I mention no one believes the media anymore? And then he said, Paul Pelosi's alleged attack is a leftist. For all we know about David DePage, he is a nudist who lives in a Berkeley hippie commune that flies a gay flag and Black Lives Matter banners. He sounds also like a drug-addicted loon. He's also an illegal alien taking advantage of California's sanctuary policies. To begin with, if this guy were indeed MAGA, he would have deported himself. And he adds, oh my God, the hypocrisy. The media trying to frame us for a crime they support, the physical assault of politicians. He adds. He also said, I look at how some of these others have been doing it. He said that they really think we forgot that Congressman Scalise was shot by a Democrat assassin. They dropped the story after 18 hours. Now, that is a fact, pretty much. They did do that. He said, how about the media? Do they think we forgot how the terrorists of Black Lives Matter and Antifa wounded up to 50 Secret Service agents during a 2020 attack on the White House? And the media ridiculed Trump in the process. And then Tuck Todd on CNN saying that Trump says he wants to end Nancy Pelosi's political career, and that's the worst Trump could come up with. Typical campaign rhetoric that he wants to appear that he's talking about to end her life, not just a career, which is not what he said. And then he says Todd played video of Obama calling for peace but failed to mention Obama's violent rhetoric or Joe Biden smearing half the country is dangerous or the left's 2020 assault on the White House. Let me make something clear here again. January 6th, I told you, was going to be used against conservatives forever and ever and ever and ever. The Paul Pelosi thing now all being tied together. Biden himself did it last night. There is nothing to suggest any direct correlation, but they don't need direct. It's innuendo, and if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, they're pretty sure it is a duck, but in this case, it's a dead duck if that's what they're pushing. That part of the story coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.